Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Every 5 minutes, someone dies while waiting for a compatible donor heart, liver, or kidney. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists strive to engineer an animal with human-compatible organs, thereby saving millions of lives. But these ancestors are not the docile herd animals they envision. Instead, the project spawns something big, something evil, something hungry. Ancestor by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler is available for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, my name is Noah Daniels. I'm one of the hosts of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Story podcast. And I wanted to give a thanks to Long Night in Egypt for giving us the opportunity to share this episode, The Evil Ghost Lady Tried to Take My Son, with you all. This episode is considered by many to be one of the scariest ghost stories ever released on a podcast. On Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories, we always have the people on who experienced the paranormal themselves to share their ghost story. So buckle in, this is a scary one, but has one of the best endings of any story we've ever heard. If you enjoy this episode, make sure you head over to your favorite podcast platform and download the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast. Now on to the episode.
What's up, everyone? It's Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
We're here for another episode of the Real Hauntings podcast. Kat couldn't make it tonight. She is actually stuck in traffic. And it's not because she's on her way to a bad date. It's because she is actually stuck in traffic. So we will miss her tonight.
She better not be on her way to a bad date. Because that would imply me.
But we do have a great episode for you tonight. And we're excited to have Brandy on. She listened to the podcast and emailed in, wanted to share her story. Brandy, thank you so much for joining the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So what drew you to Real Hauntings?
So normally I listen to a lot of true crime, and I had just finished binge listening to a morbid podcast that was extremely morbid. And I was like, I have to take a step back. I can't do any more murder. I can't do any more of this for a while. And I hadn't listened to anything like spooky in a while. So I was like, I'm going to find a new ghosty podcast. And I searched through a few. And as soon as I seen yours with the little headphone icon, I was like, that one, that's the one I want. And I listened to probably three episodes and I texted my son at school and I was like, I have our new podcast. I found our new podcast that we're going to listen to. And we have listened every single day since.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. How old is your son?
My oldest that I listen with, he's 15.
Oh, okay. I was going to be like, is it too scary? But he's 15. He can probably deal with scary stuff better than
me. Yeah.
Well, that's so cool. Well, yeah. Thank you for emailing in. Your story was pretty compelling. So I'm excited to have you on. Well, you know, we love to find out where our guests are on the Believo-meter. Zero meaning they don't believe in ghosts and 10 ghosts are absolutely real. Where do you fall on that scale?
I tend to fluctuate. I don't tell my story to a lot of people because when I do, they go, you're making that up. You know, going through it, it was terrifying. And I've had a lot of small experiences, but I really try to find some logical explanation for them. But, you know, 10 years later, looking back at this story, I'm like, there's something. I don't know what it is. I do not explain it, but there's definitely something. So I find myself anywhere between like 8 and 9.
Yeah. So pretty high. Yeah, absolutely. So I know that there is the one main story you sent in. Did you have any hauntings before this happened?
I've had weird things. I don't know if I'd say hauntings. I grew up seeing what I thought was my grandmother, and my parents always put it off as it was a dream. You're dreaming it, you know? And it wasn't until I got older that I was like, you know what? I don't think I was, because I very vividly remember these things. And I remember being in the kitchen in the middle of the day. Like, how many kids dream about standing in their kitchen in the middle of the day just talking to their grandma? And so there was that. And then there's been, you know, little things like I would see things, but I would always be like, oh, it was a trick of the light. It was just a shadow. But it's mostly for me feelings. I get these uneasy feelings, and then something weird would immediately happen. Like streetlights would start going out, or doors would open, or, you know, things would be here 1 minute that they're always here in the same place, like my keys, my purse, whatever. And then they'd go missing. And it was always right after, like, this feeling of someone's here, someone's watching me, there's something else near me, but I haven't ever seen just like spooky ghosts floating around.
Well, Brandy, yeah, let's jump into your story. I think our audience is really going to enjoy this one.
So this happened over a span of 2 years, and it was over 10 years ago. So I wrote everything down so I could try to keep it in order. So my son, I was a single mom, and he had just turned 3, and we had moved into our first place by ourselves. I had been staying with my parents because I was a single mom. I was like 22, and I got my apartment. I thought it was the coolest apartment ever because it used to be an old cotton mill, and it had concrete floors and like original brick walls, and it was built in 1924, I believe. Still had like exposed pipes, and it had this cool spiral, like metal spiral staircase. And I was like, yes, it's awesome. Yeah, you know,
industrial chic.
Yeah. Until I moved in and I'm like, oh, you know, concrete floors are horrible in the wintertime and 35-foot ceilings is horrible in Atlanta in the summer. So I hated it.
I think I know exactly what building you're talking about. Cause I have a friend who, I think she still has an apartment there, and it is so cool looking.
Yeah, they're really neat. Yeah, I think maybe not super
practical. Also, did we establish that you're from Atlanta and we're all from Atlanta?
Okay. I am from Atlanta. Yeah.
Okay. And no idea. I don't think we talked about that in the email.
No, I didn't know it when I wrote in, and then I seen you guys on Instagram. I think it was Kat had posted these buildings. That had like a reflection off of them. And my husband actually tints those buildings. So I showed it to him. I'm like, which building is this? Is this a reflection or is this a ghost? And he's like, ghosts aren't real. It's not a ghost.
Well, cool. I did not realize you're from Atlanta. And I should specify, when I say our audience is really going to enjoy the story, I mean, because it's a very compelling ghost story, I should warn the audience, it does have some, you know, darker stuff in it. Yes. So if you're triggered by domestic abuse, you may want to skip this episode.
Okay. So we moved in on Valentine's Day. And as soon as we moved in, I was like, this place feels super uneasy. It's really heavy, but I chalked it up to, this is the first time I've ever lived by myself. I've always had roommates or friends or my parents or, you know, someone with me. And it was just me and my son, whose name is Noah.
Very cool.
At the time. And so I was like, all right, you know, just, we're just big scary cats. And, the way the floor plan is laid out, like you walk through the door and it's just a big long hall. Like I said, big 35-foot ceilings, and there's the bathroom and Noah's room when you first walk in, and then everything else is open. And I had a bedroom directly on top of his, but it's an open loft and an open kitchen living room in this teeny tiny little area. And so we spend the day, we set up, and he was terrified of the dark. So there are plug-in nightlights everywhere, lamps, everything. And because it had, the only way to get to my room was this metal spiral staircase, and he's 3, I had lamps. I mean, it looked like it was daytime in there, nighttime. You could see everything. I stayed up till probably like 3 in the morning unpacking, finally fell asleep, and woke up to what sounded like someone taking a metal pot, holding it like 6 foot high and just dropping it onto these concrete floors. And I sat up and looked around, and I was like, why is it pitch black in here? Is the power out? And so I immediately turned on the light, which was right above my bed, and the light flipped on. And I'm like, why is it so dark? Every nightlight, every lamp unplugged, not turned off, unplugged throughout the entire house.
What?
And I'm like, okay, they fell out. It happens. It's fine. This happens, right? I plug everything back up. I check on Noah, and I'm like, this is fine. And I go back to sleep. And it has stayed like that for weeks. Just weird things like that would happen. I was a preschool teacher and he came to school with me, and we'd come home and every door in the house would be open. Every drawer would be pulled out. I came home one time to my couch cushions laying on the floor. We had been there probably, I guess, 3 or 4 months when I started hearing Noah talk to people. And I'm like, oh, he looks cute. He's got imaginary friends. But the more I started talking to him, he's like, oh, well, I've got two friends. One is Frank. He's an old man. He's really tall. He's got a big nose. He smells like tobacco. And I'm like, you're three. How do you know what tobacco is? How do you know what it smells like? Like, I didn't smoke. And I'm going, what is tobacco? And he's like, you know, the stuff in the round can that he keeps in his front pocket.
Weird. So not even like smoking tobacco, but like chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
Which I feel like maybe he saw that from somewhere.
Right?
I don't know.
I racked my brain. I'm like, my dad doesn't do that. I can't think someone. Maybe TV. Yeah. TV.
You know, all those kid cartoons, right? That were the like on Sesame Street when they take a big dip out and put it in their mouth.
Maybe he was watching Popeye and thought this thing was tobacco.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's weird, but all right. And then he goes on. Yeah, he works at a gas station. He fixes cars. But then he's like, well, then there's the dark lady. And I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, she kind of looks like you. And I'm like, mm-mm, I don't like that. And he's like, you know, but she's really white and she keeps her hair in her face. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe we'll tell her to go play somewhere else and we'll just play with Frank. And he's like, yeah, Frank doesn't like her. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's weird. But
so basically you had like a neat repairman and the girl from The Ring living in your house.
Right. And see,
yeah, one of these ghosts sounds really, really sweet. And the other one, not so much.
And The Ring terrified me growing up. That movie scared me to death. So I'm like, I don't want any part of this whatsoever. And so I start telling people, I'm like, you know, there's some weird things going on in my house. And like Noah's saying some weird things. And it's just kind of creepy. And everyone seemed to be divided. They would either go, what's your imagination? Or they'd be like, you have a ghost, get an Ouija board, have a seance. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? You've not watched movies. You don't do those things. Absolutely not. It's like the more I tried to ignore it, the more it wanted my attention, because I would like get this uneasy feeling like something's watching me or something was close to me. And I'd shrug it off and I'd turn on music and my phone would die. I'd plug in my radio and as soon as I'd walk away, it would get unplugged. I'd turn on the TV and the cable would go out and it would just be static. And it's like everything I tried to do to draw my attention away from it. Like I started reading Twilight. Twilight had just come out. And I was like, oh, I'll binge read all these books because all my friends liked them. My books went missing. Like just missing. Borrowed a full set of books from someone, couldn't find them anywhere. Right. Teeny tiny apartment. Couldn't find them anywhere. And I'm like, okay. So I had some friends over and we were talking about it and Noah wasn't there. It was just me and my girlfriends. And one of them had bought a Ouija board and she's like, we're going to do this. And I'm like, And so it's just sitting on my kitchen table. And she had one of those like old school tape recorders. And she's like, well, we'll just put this here and we'll get EVPs. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And so we carry on with our night. We're talking about it. But the next day she let me listen to it. And there's nothing on it like the whole time except for one part. You get to it and it sounds just like someone goes, what the fuck is this? Like they saw the Ouija board and just, what the fuck is this? And I'm Frank. Like, it was a male voice.
Definitely
too.
Frank.
Yeah. And there were no guys there whatsoever. And I'm like, okay. All right. Thin walls. It was the neighbor. This is definitely the neighbor. I've got excuses for everything. I can figure everything out.
Did it sound like he had a mouthful of dip or?
No, it was more kind of like a whisper, but it was like a very deep male voice, but it was definitely a whisper, but you could tell he was like, what the fuck is that? Like very confused.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, okay, well, maybe if it is Frank, I should have a talk with him about not to use those words.
Language.
So EVPs, I don't know how you feel about it. Brandy, I don't know how convinced you are with EVPs. I feel like that's kind of one of those things where I'm like, maybe not, because there is like so much sound, and like, mm-hmm. you know, you leave something recording for a long period of time, there's probably right. it's gonna pick up like something.
Right.
It's not as convincing as like things getting unplugged and doors right. and drawers opening, like right. that stuff. It was way freakier.
It was super easy for me to write that one off because I convinced myself, I'm like, it's definitely the neighbors. But shortly after that, I had my neighbors over and we were talking about it. And, you know, I was telling them about the EVP and just all this weird stuff. And the way my kitchen was set up was it had these set of cabinets that I couldn't even reach. I'm like 5'2". Like I couldn't even reach these things.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I'd go upstairs to my room and I would lean over and I would just use it as a shelf to sit like figurines and collectibles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Well, I had a Disney cookbook that I never used. It was just because it was pretty. And it was sat up there. And while we were talking, this thing ended up in the floor. Had it fallen off, it would have just either fallen straight over or hit the counter. But it went a good 4 foot out and hit directly in the middle of our floor. And I remember my friend looked at me and she went, let's go outside and sit by the pool. And I'm like, yeah, let's go do that. And so we left. And the way these doors worked was you could only deadbolt it. So if you wanted to lock it from the outside, you had to have a key. So you couldn't accidentally lock yourself out, which was fantastic. But I left, we went and we sat by the pool and I came back and my door was locked. I didn't have my keys on me. I didn't lock it. No one's in there. And I'm like, I don't have one for this. I don't have an explanation for this. So I go to my neighbors and I'm like, hey, I need my extra key. And I told them what happened and they're like, how did you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. So they're like, oh, we're gonna go in and check. There might be a burglar in there. Okay, guys. So we go through, house is empty. And I'm like, okay, you know, things happen, whatever. And then my boyfriend at the time had started staying there overnight every now and then. He wasn't the nicest of guys, especially when he drank. And we had started fighting a lot. And I would notice when we stayed at my place, he was a lot more like belligerent and just mean than when we stayed at his house. Now, he was still a jerk, but not nearly as much as when he was at my house. Like he would walk in and it's almost like you could see him change. You could see like, just like his expression, and like he would go from standing up this big tall guy to like he would just kind of scrunch over and like draw in on himself. And he always said he didn't like being there. And he was just like, I just don't like these apartments. I just don't like them. I don't like this part of town. I don't like being here. But he would stay with me every now and then. And he had stayed over one night and we'd gotten this big fight. And so I was sleeping on the couch of my own apartment. And I woke up to this screaming. And I immediately I was like, Noah. And I ran into his room, but he was asleep. And the more I listened to it, it was a woman, but I couldn't really tell where it was coming from because it sounded like it was coming from like every direction. And I just sat and I'm like, why is no one else waking up? Why does no one else hear? It was so loud. Like I finally went upstairs and I woke my boyfriend up and I'm like, do you hear this? Like, what is going on? And he was like, I don't hear anything. What are you talking about? And then it went quiet. And I'm like, okay, I'm going crazy. That's the explanation for everything. I'm hearing this stuff in my head. I'm going crazy. A few nights after that, or a few days, I'm taking Noah to school and he tells me, so Frank told me that I'm supposed to tell you, you're not supposed to talk to the lady. If she tries to talk to you, don't talk to her. And I'm like, what lady? And he's like, you know, the mean lady, the dark lady. And I'm like, well, I've never seen her. And he was like, good, don't look at her. Her eyes are scary. And I'm like, well, what's scary about her eyes? And he's like, well, they change. And you know, he's three. So it's like, it's really this weird back and forth conversation trying to figure out what he's trying to say. And he's mad because he's trying to explain something to me that I'm not understanding. And he gets frustrated with me. And by the end of it, he's like, she's just mean. Don't talk to her. She tells me to do bad things. And so we get to the parking lot and he tries to get out to go inside. And I'm like, no, we need to talk. What is she telling you to do? And he's like, well, you know, I'm not supposed to go outside by myself. And she'll open the door and stand outside the door and go, come here, come outside. And I'm like, the fuck do you do about a ghost trying to kidnap your kid? How do I handle this? And he's like, she tells me to stand on the counters, to climb up on the counters and then jump off. And I'm like,
that one does sound fun.
But I don't know. What do I do? Not on those concrete floors.
Right. And he he kind of shut down. He didn't want to keep talking about it. And he was like, I'm a good boy. I know not to break the rules. And he was. He's a good kid. But I'm like, what? I don't even know how to approach this. I don't know how to fix this. And so I think about it all day. And we go home and he's in his room and I'm in the kitchen making dinner and I can hear him talking. And I hear him start saying stuff like about his day. And I'm like, oh, like I can't really hear him. So I need to go in there and tell him, like, hold on, let me come in here so I can hear you before you keep telling me about your day, because I want to hear about this. And so like, as I turn the corner, he goes, well, of course, Mom. And like, I peek around and he's got his back to the door and he's looking like directly at something and talking. And he's like moving his hands like he's having a conversation, but there's nothing there. And so I kind of stand there and I was like, Noah. And he turned around and the look of shock on his face, he like jumps back and he's like, how did you do that? And I was like, do what? And he's like, you were right here talking. What happened to your dress? And I'm like, what? I don't even own a dress. What do you mean? And he's like, you were right there talking to me and you had a pink dress on. And I'm like, no, I don't own a dress. And I've been in the kitchen cooking dinner. And he was just like terrified. He had no idea like what to think. Like, so I scoop him up and I'm like, come on, we're going to go cook dinner. It's going to be great. We're going to have grilled cheese. It's going to be fantastic. Come on. And he didn't want to go to bed that night. And I had never had a problem putting this kid to bed. Like, he had his own bedtime routine. He tucked his stuffed animals in. He loved bedtime. So I'm like, okay, you can't get in this habit of sleeping with me. I don't even want to try to cross that bridge. You have to sleep in your own bed. But I'll put an extra nightlight in here. So I moved another lamp in there. And I even like propped something up against it so it didn't come unplugged. Like, I took one of his Tonka trucks and pushed it all the way up against the outlet. And I'm like, all right, this thing can't come unplugged. I go upstairs, you know, continue with my night, go to bed. And I wake up and I hear water running. And so I go downstairs thinking, you know, Noah got thirsty. He's getting a drink of water, because we had those little plastic cups in the bathroom. But I go downstairs and his bathroom light's on and he's half asleep, just kind of sitting here in a tub with the water running. And I'm like shaking him to wake him up. And I'm like, Noah, what are you doing? You know better. Like, what's going on? I turn the water off, pick him up. I'm trying to like get him dried off and back in his pajamas. And he's like, you turned the bath on. You put me in the tub. And I was like, no, baby, I was asleep. It's 3 a.m. And he was like, you said I was filthy and needed to take a bath. And I'm like, filth, that's not even a word I would use to a 3-year-old.
Right.
And I'm like, filthy. And so I was like, you're going to come sleep with me. This is just weird. So I put him in my bed. We're sleeping. He's sleeping. I'm pretending to sleep and I start hearing the screaming again. And then I hear knocking on the walls again, coming from like every direction. I can't even pinpoint it. And I'm like, I don't know what to do, but we have to get out of this house. We cannot stay in this house. So the next day I called my boyfriend and I'm like, can we please stay with you? Like, I don't know what's going on. And I'm explaining it to him. And he's like, I'll come over. You're crazy. It's all in your head. There's nothing going on. And so he comes over to the house, like searching the house, like he's going to find, you know, someone hiding in a closet that's responsible for all of this or something. He doesn't find anything. Of course, we put Noah to bed. We're trying to have a good night. And he turns into this, like, from being kind of, you know, normal, casual, sitting there, to just all of a sudden angry and starts this fight. I don't even remember what it was about, but I remember it being over nothing. And it was like a switch flipped. He just went from, you know, being himself to screaming and yelling. And I finally told him, I'm like, you have to get out. You cannot do this in front of my child. You have to leave. And so I made him leave, and I'm sitting in the middle of the floor, and I'm crying my eyes out, and I'm stressed, and I'm upset, and I'm confused, and I'm, you know, scared to death. And I hear this bam, bam, bam on my door. And so now I'm mad. I'm like, okay, so you're going to go from screaming at me to now beating on my door, and you're going to wake my kid up. So I like fling the door open, and they're these big, huge, thick, like 3-inch steel doors. Mm. I swing this door open and no one's there. Mm. And I lived on the corner apartment. So I'm like, okay, they ran around the corner. So I step out and I like peek around the corner, and there's no one anywhere. And it's all concrete floor. So if anyone's walking, you hear them, and it's just silent. And I hear a slam behind me, and I turn around and my door's shut.
Please tell me you are not locked out again.
I'm locked out again.
No.
And I'm like flipping out, because now Noah's in there by himself. The door's locked. So I don't even knock. I burst into my neighbor's apartment, and I'm like, oh my God, I need my key. Give me my key. And, you know, they see that I'm upset. They see that I'm crying. So they're like, what's going on? And I'm like trying to explain, but also trying to get my key and run to my apartment. And so they're like, no, let me go in. Let me go in. Let me check. Let me see who's in there. So they rush in. I rush in to grab Noah, who's still asleep, hasn't moved. They search the entire apartment, and they're like, something's going on. Like, this is the second time your door is locked. Something's obviously going on. And I'm like, I don't know. And I just didn't want to admit to myself like something paranormal was going on. I was already scared to live by myself. I didn't want to live in a haunted apartment.
You weren't by yourself. That's the good news.
I really wasn't.
I think that's not good news. Maybe if it was just, you know, and Frank, things would have been fine.
Right.
But there's so much bizarre stuff going on in this story that I'm like, I don't know how you would explain that other than ghost myself. But did you ever observe any kind of like sleepwalking issues with him?
No, he had never even left his bed before. Like, even if he wanted me, he would sit up in bed and just call me. Mm-hmm. You know, he was very scared of the stairs, and he was scared mm-hmm. just of the dark in general. But I even got, after the bath time thing happened, a friend of mine had just had a baby, and she had an extra video monitor. So I put it in his room, and it didn't like record, so I couldn't play it back. But I would watch it, you know, from the minute I put him to sleep until I fell asleep, because I was like, maybe if it is a ghost, I'll see an orb or, you know, a shadow, I'll see something. Mm-hmm. Nothing. I never seen anything on the camera. I never seen him sleepwalk. And I would ask him, you know, how did you get over the gate? Or, you know, how did you get past the locks? And he's like, you did it. He would always tell me, he's like, you did it. You picked me up. And I'm like, just the thought of, even if it was a ghost, them being able to physically pick my son up and move him, I'm like, ghosts aren't supposed to be able to do that. They're not. They're just not. I couldn't even find a good ghost logical explanation, you know, because I'm like, ghosts can't pick people up. They can't. They just can't do that. Mm-hmm. I just tried to ignore it. I'm like, if I ignore it and I don't play into it and I don't acknowledge it and I don't let it scare me, it'll go away. Because it wants attention, right? Like, that's what you always hear, wants attention. Mm-hmm. So I tried, and I told him the same thing. I'm like, don't talk to it. Don't look at it. And he like cried, because he's like, but Frank. And I'm like, you can talk to Frank. I'm like, Frank's fine. Frank's your friend. Okay. Anything else though? I was like, don't talk to it. Don't look at it. Don't like turn around, ignore it. And it got to where I wasn't sleeping at night, because if I was sleeping, I was waking up from these horrible dreams about like being lost in the woods and people chasing me. And then Noah actually started having very similar nightmares at the same time, because he would wake up crying and he would be like, I was lost. I lost you. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's probably a normal kid thing to have a nightmare about. He got lost. But then he'd be like, I was alone and it was dark and we were in the woods. And I'm like, okay, maybe not so normal anymore. And he's like, and people were there and they were chasing me and there was a river. And I'm like, it's exactly what was happening to me, like down to the river and being barefoot. And I'm like, how is this a thing? Like, how is this possible? And so I was getting so fed up from not sleeping, being haunted, my boyfriend being a jerk, my kid being terrorized, being a single mom, trying to pay bills, trying to drive to work, you know, trying to just cope with everything, that one night I'd woke up to another loud bangs and screaming and just all this stuff. And I just sat up in my bed and I screamed. I was like, just shut the fuck up. And not only did things go silent, it was like I lost my hearing. I could not hear anything for a good 60 seconds. And I just sat there and I'm like I was snapping because I'm like, I can't hear anything. And I was like, you know what? I'm fine. I'm fine with that. If that means I can sleep, I'll be deaf for the night. But before I could even process the thought, something hit me so hard in the back that it like knocked the wind out of me. And I could not catch my breath. And I just remember it being pitch black and knowing, okay, if I turn around, my light switches behind me. But also the way the closets were in this apartment, like they didn't have doors. It was just like an open closet and it would go back behind a wall. So there'd be part of it that was open and then the rest went behind the wall. And I'm like, but something's in that closet. I know if I turn around and turn this light on, there is something standing in that closet. And like I still get chills and I still shake thinking about that feeling. Like it was the most, I would have put my life on knowing the fact that something was standing behind me. That's how certain I was. And so instead of turning lights on or turning around, I got up and ran. I bolted and I went down those stairs and I grabbed Noah and I grabbed my keys and we got in my car in our pajamas and we drove to work at 3 a.m. and we slept in my car in the parking lot until my job opened. And I went, I'm not coming in today. Here's Noah. I have some things I have to take care of. And I called my parents and I'm like, I've got to find a new place to live. Noah cannot stay here. I need him to stay with you until I find somewhere. Like, I cannot have him in this apartment anymore. I can't do it. And so he went back and forth between some friends of mine and my parents. I found somewhere for him to stay so he did not have to come back to this apartment. And I would spend weekends at my parents' house, anything so that he didn't have to be there. Yeah. And we only had like probably 2 months of my lease left. So I started looking for new apartments and I actually found one right down the road that was cheaper and it was brand new, just been built. No one had ever lived there. And I'm like, can't be haunted. No one's ever lived there.
Can't not be haunted. A former cotton mill, which
right.
I know is in Georgia, like 1925, but I would not want to live in any historic cotton associated building right? in the oh South my gosh. For fear of really terrible things.
You know, it, and that never crossed my mind moving in. I'm just like, look at this cool staircase. Look at these cool floors.
I looked at living into that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Uh-huh. When I used to live in the city, I know exactly what. Yeah. So once you moved into your new apartment, did everything just stop? Like, did you have any more instances?
Not bad ones. I did not. Everything at the new place was only good hauntings.
Did Frank make the move with you?
He did. Oh, Frank. So when I found a new apartment, I had told Noah, I'm like, all right, we have a new apartment. And I brought him over and I'm like, let's start packing, let's, you know, clean up. And he would stay, you know, the days with me and then we'd leave at night and we'd go stay with a friend or my parents or something. And so, you know, we're packing all of our stuff up and I'm upstairs and I had just gave Noah like a box and I'm like, throw your stuffed animals in here. And I'm upstairs and I'm packing my stuff and I hear him and I can tell just from hearing him that he's crying and he's screaming and he is upset. And he's like, no, I won't do that. I won't do it. And I'm like, dude, it's just packing. Like, I'll pack your stuff. It's not that big a deal. And so I'm like going downstairs and then I hear him and I can hear like his voice cracking and that he's scared. And he's like, go, no, stay away from me. And like, when you came down the stairs, it was almost like there was a window. It didn't have glass in it, but it was like a cutout, like a window. And I could see into the room, but I passed it so quickly, I didn't really process what I had seen. And as I was turning the corner, I went, there's two people in that room. And so as I like turn the corner, I can see him staring into the room, and there's something big enough that it's casting a shadow onto him. And so as I turn, there's me standing in front of him, but it's like deathly white. And the way it moved was almost like the ring, like it was like jittery. And it like turned its head to look at me, and it did. It had its face, and it's like very much Samara vibes, hair hanging in its face, but it looked like me. Like, I'm very short. I'm very round. I used to have very, very long dark hair, and it had very long dark hair. It had black skinny jeans on, a black band t-shirt on, like no My Chemical Romance t-shirt on. Like down to my clothes and everything. And it turned to look at me. And it was like looking at a dead version of myself, except for there were no eyes. It was just black, hollowed out spaces. And as quick as it looked at me, before I could scream or breathe or move, it just disappeared. It was just gone. And I sat there and I'm like, is there a mirror? Am I looking at it? Did I die? And I'm looking at a mirror, and like all these thoughts went through my head, and I couldn't process it fast enough. I grabbed Noah and I'm like, let's go get ice cream. Let's leave. And we ran out the door. And he was like, I was telling Frank that we were moving, and I asked him to come with me. And, you know, he said he'd come with us to the new house. And then the dark lady was there, and I told her she couldn't come. And Frank told her she couldn't come, and she got mad and she tried to grab me. And she told me, you're coming with me. You don't get to leave. And she apparently was like trying to lure him outside. And she was trying to tell him, just go outside. If you go outside, there's lots of cars out there. You can have some cars if you go outside. And at three, my kid was obsessed with cars. Like, I had to take him to, we had a car show like straight across the street from us every like fourth Sunday of the month. And he knew that he had a calendar and he'd keep up with it so that we could walk across the street to the car show. And so this ghost demon thing was like, there's cars out there. If you just go outside, you can have cars. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what was that? And he never stepped foot in that apartment again, ever. The last week, we didn't even finish out our week there. We packed our stuff up, and I had stuff in my classroom. I had boxes in my classroom. I had boxes in my car. I had boxes at my parents' house, at my friend's house, until I got the keys for the new apartment. We didn't even go back over there. And so we moved into the new apartment. And the day we moved in, I get a call from my neighbor. And she's like, you know, are you doing okay? Is everything fine? And I didn't even tell anybody I left. And so I was like, yeah, why? And she's like, well, you know, you've been crying all day. Like, I've been hearing you.
Oh my gosh.
And I just eventually thought you'd stop, but you know, it's 6 o'clock at night and you're still over there crying. Do I need to come over? And I'm like, Nicole, I don't live there anymore. I moved out a week ago. And she's like, hang on a second. And so on the phone with me, her and her husband go over there. I couldn't hear anything being on the phone, but they said they walked in and it sounded like someone was upstairs crying, like a woman crying. And Dusty said he started going up the stairs. And he said, as soon as his foot hit the stair, someone screamed, get out. And he was like, okay, gone. And he's like, it could have been a real person. I don't know. He was like, I got on the stairs. They screamed to get out and I left.
Yeah, I would fucking leave too. Jesus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is honestly like the scariest story I have ever heard. And
was terrifying.
You see how quiet I've been. I've just been shell-shocked, and I already know what's going to happen at every point of this story.
all I know is we moved and the dark lady did not come with us. I never seen her again. I never had anything nearly that scary happen to me again, but Frank came with us.
Frank
came with us. So when we moved into the new apartment, we moved in with my boyfriend. So we were all three living together. And I thought, I was like, I kind of used the ghost as an excuse. I'm like, that's why he was mean to me. It was the bad energy of that mean ghost. The mean ghost made him be mean to me. Mm-hmm. I learned really quickly that that was not the case. So big trigger warning, me and him got into this fight, really, really bad fight. And first time he had got like really physical with me. And I told him, I was like, I'm leaving. If you're going to put your hands on me, like, I'm leaving. Me and Noah, we're going to get our stuff and leave. And he took my keys and he took my phone and he threw them up on top of the cabinets, you know, like the tall cabinets that are at the top of your kitchen, how they have the ledge on top. He threw them up there. And I'm like, how am I going to get those? And I'm standing by the front door and I'm like looking up and they're like 6 foot in the air. And again, I'm 5'2". So I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And before I could even figure out anything, he grabs me, he throws me against the wall repeatedly until I lost consciousness.
Oh my God.
And when I woke up, you know, the first thing I'm thinking is, where's Noah? Where's Noah? Oh. And so Noah's 4 at this point. He's standing beside me. Like, so I was at the front door. He's got the front door open. He has my keys and my phone in his hand. And the phone is on and he's like, get up, get up. The lady on the phone needs to talk to you. And I'm like, yeah. And I grab him and I grab the phone and I'm like out the door and I'm trying to figure out. And it was 911 that was on the phone. Mm-hmm. So after everything was said and done, I'm talking to Noah and I'm like, what happened? Like, how did you get the keys? How did 911, like, what happened? Because, you know, when the officers are all asking me what happened, all I could say was, you know, my kid found my keys and my phone and he called. Like, I don't know. I was unconscious. That's all I know. And so after they had left and, you know, we're at my friend's house and I'm talking to him, I'm like, what happened? And he's like, well, Frank was in my room and he handed me my tablet and my headphones. And he said, hide in the closet. Do not come out until I tell you to. I'm sorry.
Take as much time as you need.
Yeah, this is the part where I usually don't share the story. You know, it's what, 12 years later and it's still crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine. It sounds like, I'm so sorry that you had to go through all of that. I mean, not just the boyfriend, the hauntings.
It was definitely a learning experience.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good. But anyway, you know, like I'm asking him, you know, what happened? And he tells me, when I came out of my closet, your keys and your phone were on my bed. And Frank told me, when the lady answers the phone, tell her you need help and then you and your mom need to run. And so he was like, I did. I called the number and I handed you the phone and we ran. And I'm like, wow. Okay. And like that right there, I was like, okay, I believe in ghosts now. that's it. I believe in ghosts. And for a long time, I wouldn't even call him a ghost because Noah was like, he's your angel. He saved you.
Aww.
And I'm like, yeah. That's probably true. Obviously, you know, we moved out. We did not go back to that apartment. We moved in with my parents. And, you know, as Noah got older, he talked about Frank less and less. As he started school, he learned really quickly that he kind of got made fun of when he would tell people about Frank. Mm. So he stopped talking about him. But when we were staying with my parents had the downstairs and upstairs, there were 2 bedrooms that were mine and Noah's. And one night I had already put him to bed and went downstairs, did all my, you know, nightly stuff. And I was going back upstairs to go to bed. And as I start going up the stairs, I see more like a shadow. This one was kind of translucent, but it was an old man leaning into Noah's room looking. I didn't even have to see more than that to know. I'm like, there's Frank. I finally get to see Frank. And he turns and looks at me. And I mean, spot on, exactly like Noah described. Overalls, big nose, no hair. And he looks at me and he winks and he just walks off. And it's the only time I ever saw Frank, except for when I saw him for real. I saw the real Frank. This I did not put into the email because I had forgot until Noah reminded me. We had went out to eat at one of these like random off the wall mom and pop kind of places. Mm-hmm. And it was decorated in like car parts and car like road signs and, you know, stuff like that. And Noah was like, I want to go sit with the motorcycles. Can we go? There was a whole motorcycle. And he's like, can we have the table next to the motorcycle? So we sat over there. And I think Noah was probably about five at this point. And so we're sitting there eating dinner, and halfway through dinner, Noah, like, his eyes get huge and he's like, Mom, there's Frank. And I'm like, what? And he's like right there, and he gets up and runs to the wall, and there's this photo. And in the photo, there's Frank and it's black and white, and there's a car, and it says, it's like got like kind of like an old timey gas station garage, you know, and it says Frank's Auto Body.
Get out of here.
No.
And I immediately like waved a server down and I'm like, where did this picture come from? I need to know, where did you get this picture? And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't want to be a Karen, but I need your manager. I need to know where this picture came from.
This is an acceptable situation in which you should ask for a manager.
And come to find out, almost all of their stuff was either donated or stuff they found at like Goodwill or antique stores. And that particular one came from an antique store in Woodstock.
I was like, please, please, please let the manager be like Frank's grandson or something.
Well, the lady did tell me, because the lady who owned the place was the lady who bought it. And she told me, she's like, this place is in Ball Ground. She's like, this used to be a place in Ball. It's not there anymore, but this used to be in Ball Ground. That's crazy. And I even took Noah one day. I'm like, we're going to go drive through Ball Ground just to see, like, if, you know, if it's still standing. Because if so, I'm going to go ghost hunting for Frank. But we never found anything. Wow. But that was my favorite part, was actually seeing that and seeing Frank's Auto Body on the picture.
Well, Brandy, that might be the most complete ghost story we have ever heard on the podcast. I felt like I was watching a movie hearing you tell that story.
That's what people tell me. They're like, what book did you read that out of?
I keep picturing this on like the big screen. I'm just like, oh man, I'm so sorry that like you had to go through all of that. But I'm so like, if there's a movie like this, I'm lining up to get tickets for that movie.
I had a friend who kept telling me, she's like, you need to write this as a story. Yeah. You really do. And I'm like, if I ever get over all the PTSD I got from it, maybe.
Ooh, yeah.
I can make that happen for you. Not the PTSD part, them helping you turn it into a short film or something. That sounded weird. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. I know that, as you said, I mean, the PTSD alone, that would be a really hard thing to share. And I appreciate you trusting us and our audience with that story. Yeah. It's pretty moving just to sit here on a Zoom and hear it. I can't wait to get the audience's feedback from this. Is there anything, you know, that you want to plug or promote for coming here today?
I mean, not really. Anyone who wants to can follow me on Instagram. I crochet a lot and I post a lot of creepy things that I crochet because I like creepy Ooh. Things now. Like, I was never into creepy things, and then all this happened and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to watch all the scary movies now because that shit's not real. Yeah. What I went through was real. So, and they still scare me. Yeah. The stupid movies also still scare me.
Yeah.
I would think you'd just be like, been through it. It's way worse in real life.
It may have been fate that Kat couldn't be here tonight. This story may have been too scary for her.
She would not go to sleep tonight.
Yeah. This one may be too scary.
It's funny because I've been listening, you know, to past episodes, and I kept hearing you guys mention the doppelganger episode. They're like, go listen to it. And I'm like, you know, that might be something close to my story. So I listened to it and I'm like, yep, that shit's pretty scary too. That's about what I thought.
Yeah, that's a pretty scary one.
I forgot about that there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is our second doppelganger episode.
And see, and hers was when she was little. She was like, what, 7 or 8? So I'm like, yeah. I couldn't handle that thing as a 22-year-old.
Yeah.
How do you process that as like a 7-year-old?
It's really scary. Any story that involves kids, not talking about like where the ghosts are kids, although that is also scary, but like a small child that's like dealing with that is so scary. And then like from telling it from the parent's perspective, that's like even worse. I'm like, I don't think I want to have kids. It's too scary.
You're going to say, I don't think I want to have ghosts. They're too scary.
Both are true.
With that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
And I'm Brandy B.
Ooh. Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.